Jim Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Get a chance to speak with good friend Dave Nanengay with the Illinois High School Glory Days website. That's IllinoisHSGloryDays.com. Great site. Last time I visited with Dave was back in August. He was at an event up in Savannah hosted by my good radio friend Brian Roosh at WCCI Radio. So that was back in August. Dave, what have you been doing since then?
Oh, you know what? Just staying busy, doing some part-time work, and, of course, sticking with the website. I still enjoy it. Still doing very well. We're approaching 500,000 visitors now, so it's kind of exciting for us. And still doing some traveling, checking out different areas of the state, and, you know, finding out more information almost every day on it.
So where have you been lately? I know, well, of course, as we talked to you this week, you haven't been traveling much with basically inclement weather kind of putting travel to a halt in Illinois. But what have been some of the recent excursions for you?
In the fall. The fall is the best time for, you know, we talked recently about Johnny, and Johnny's my special kid, and he goes with me everywhere. But we made a trip to when we go in the fall during the Friday night football. I love going to Friday night football. I try to find the small towns. I just really enjoy it. We walk around the field and listen to the people cheer and cheer on their hometown team. And it just, you know, I really enjoy that type of thing. So we will go to different areas and each Friday night and visit. We'll go early and visit the towns in that area that might be have, you know, high schools that were closed. And this past year and this past fall, we went to the area of around Champaign, or I'm sorry, around Bloomington and Champaign, actually, Melvin Sibley and, you know, Bellflower and towns like that, El Paso and Gridley and all those little towns in that area. And we also actually, you would be interested in, we made a trip to the area that the Rova schools are located, you know, Rio and Oneida and Watauga, Victoria, Altona. We got to make a trip to those towns. Very fascinating. I love seeing the, you know, the school, a couple of, in two cases, Rio and Watauga and Altona, the school buildings are still standing, still looking good. So it's kind of fun to see that. But that's pretty much what we've done for the past 6 months, just still exploring.
Well, I know there's that thing you hear on social media, or I should say you see on social media, it says how it started, and then it says how it's going. So I know, Dave, you know, our relationship goes back a ways. I know how it started, but I always like when I get you on, because, you know, there a lot of people know about your site. Again, it's Illinois High School Glory Days, and you can bookmark it, IllinoisHSGloryDays.com. But there's always a few newcomers that haven't heard it, and then when they hear it and they go to it, they take a deep dive into it, and they're there for a while. So yeah. Tell us the idea kind of behind it, how you started this thing, and then I think we're 17 years into this. I don't know if you call it a hobby or what you want to call it, but take us back when you said, hey, I think maybe I'm going to put together something like this digital platform that honors the legacy of these closed and defunct schools.
Well, you know, I always enjoy that you give me a chance to tout my mineral leopards. So I appreciate that. But it all started in early 2000s, about 2002, 2003. And I got interested in the old high school there in Mineral. That's a small town of 300 people in Bureau County, Western Bureau County. The kids there now go to Annalyn High School, and I did as well. But my aunts and uncles all went there, and they had some really good basketball teams. And at that time, the Bureau County Republican, Kevin Hieronymus, had a Hall of Fame for teams and players and athletes from Bureau County area. So I got the information together. I submitted them six district championship teams, and lo and behold, Kevin submitted them and entered them into the Hall of Fame. And there was such an amazing turnout. Kevin, to this day, says it was the best turnout they had ever had. The town is 250 people, say, and there was literally over 300 people there, all wearing green and white for the Mineral Leopards, you know. And that's what got me excited about thinking, if this happened for this small town, there's got to be others out there that will be just as excited if we do something to memorialize their former high schools and maybe keep that memory alive as long as we possibly can. And really to cement it, you know, to have those things recorded, you know, hopefully for forever, that things that may not have been known unless we had dived into it and found these things out, and these schools would have been forgotten. So that's kind of how it started. And, you know, we were thinking about a building at first, and then of course someone wrote, you know, this was in 2002 or three. So, you know, internet, I wasn't too familiar with yet, but we found that they said, why not start a website? And we started it, and I thought, well, if we can get 200 schools on here, that'd be great. And here we are at nearly 1200 schools. And, you know, it's been a great adventure and a great time for me and the people who work with me on it.
What year did so you officially begin? What year was it you started? It was, am I right, 17 years ago?
Yeah. The actual website began in February, actually February 5th, and it's coming right up. So February 5th of 2004 or 5, February 5th, 2005.
Well, hey, we're this interview is going to be running on Sportsline on the anniversary date.
Yay,
Dave,
happy
Nanigay.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so tremendous. I mean, when you look at it now, here in 2022. You know, as we talk to you, do you think, well, man, I'm, you know, if you look back when you started it 17 years ago, did you say to yourself, I wonder how long I can keep up doing this stuff? Because, you know, a lot of people try to start something.
Right.
And then they stop doing it, or, you know, they don't have the motivation to continue doing it. And when you want to maintain a digital presence, you know, you gotta work at it. Now, you can like it, but you have to keep it up to date, and you have to add new content. And it seems like you do that. So you know, and I know, as they say, you don't make a king's ransom doing that. So what is your deep down motivation to do this, you know, week out, day in and day out, year in and year out?
Well, you know, it all started, my passion comes from growing up in a small town. And, you know, like I said, my town was 250 people, but there was so much pride in that little town. And my motivation originally was just to memorialize that little town and the people who played those sports. And as I dug into it, you know, you find the trophies and you find the newspaper articles and how proud they were and how great it was. And so as I started going, you know, kind of circular around Mineral and finding all these different towns that once had a high school, and then as it started getting popularity, I began getting more and more feedback from people. And if you even go to the Your Comments section of the website, you'll see, you know, it's like unbelievable, some of the people's comments about how much they enjoyed it. So that motivates me, Kevin or Jim. But I will say, and I said this from the get-go, even if I was the only visitor to that site, I would still have that site. I just, whatever it is, I know it might be from my childhood or from my interest in history, my interest in sports, my interest in small towns, but that has never waned. I've always really, really enjoyed it. And to this day, I enjoy it. And to this day, I get excited when someone sends me a bit of information about when they were in high school or about their hometown. And I get a kick out of interacting with them a little bit and adding that as best we can to the site.
And then I know it's what's great about it is, you know, user input is always appreciated. And maybe they have a picture out there of something from back in the day, something that could be added to the content of what you already have up. And I think it's pretty user friendly how you work it. Basically, you know, it's alphabetical order of these closed schools or these, you know, schools that no longer exist in their current format. It's in alphabetical order. You click on that letter and then eventually find what the school is, click on that. And then you see all the information that you've compiled, different facts and different tidbits. And I think it's great because I know as people are listening and maybe they haven't had a chance to peruse the site, you know, I know some people are out there and they're saying, well, I bet you, you know, under the letter G, he doesn't have so-and-so high school. Yeah. And then lo and behold, you click on G and we're like, well, he's got it. He's got that school. And then, I mean, have you ever heard any of that stuff before where somebody's like surprised? It's like, man, I thought there was no way you would have information on this school that had, you know, an enrollment of 87 kids back in the day. And you have information and you have some data about some of their teams and you have the school song and you have this and you have that. I mean, you get some of that feedback.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the fun. That is the best too, is when people really, I've had, you know, people who are alumni from some of these smaller schools that you brought up, you know, that with less than, and in some cases, honestly, it was less than 40 kids in the whole high school. And some cases it was a 1 year high school. They even had those back in the early 20s, and from the 20s through the late 1940s, they had 2 and 3 year high schools, and they would have, you know, 30 kids in the whole high school. And they would even, you know, I've gotten those comments from alumni saying, thank you so much for remembering us. And it was such a pleasure to see this on here. And then they, you know, maybe want to add some things about who coached them a certain year or something. And, but it's not, you know, I like to focus. I personally like to focus on the small town. That's where my heart lies. But I also have well over 300 high schools from towns like, of course, Chicago and the surrounding suburbs and Joliet and, you know, Peoria, all these, a lot of them were private high schools that have been closed. We have a ton of information on those. Kevin Barney does a great job with the private schools as well. So, and I enjoyed looking at them as well, but, you know, it's kind of run the gamut and, you know, schools that, and we have schools on there that opened in 1870 and closed in 1874, you know, so we've really dug into it. And every year, I think we find something, you know, every once in a while, anyway, we find something that we didn't know, that we add a new school. So it's been just a lot of fun to work on.
Yeah. And I wanted you to reckon, you mentioned a good guy I like too, man. He's a good dude, Kev Varney. Who's now in the Bloomington Normal area. And what school was he at? Ottawa Marquette. I can't remember what school he has.
Yeah, he attended Ottawa Marquette.
Okay, yeah. And so it's you. I want you to recognize some of your key site contributors too, because, you know, there's a method to all you guys' madness, I guess. Yeah. So you get some help too, right?
Yeah, Kev is my main helper on the site. And then we have some Roberta Van Breesen-McKisk, who, you know, she does some traveling for us. She does some research work for us from her home. She's great. Phil Shadid, he's from the Springfield area. Roberta's from the Rockford area. Cody Cutter, I think you might know Cody. He's a sports writer, a writer for the newspaper in Sterling. Bo Spencer, he's a former Anawan friend of mine, and you know, Bo does some work for, and he lives up in Wisconsin now, but stays along with us. And we did have kind of a sad thing. One of our guys who did a lot of work for us was Catholic priest, Monsignor Richard Sosaman, who passed away last year due to COVID. So we were sad for that, but he had also done quite a bit of work for us, a lot of legwork, you know, taking pictures and different things. So these people are just great people, and they enjoy it as much as I do. They've been with me. The reason they were even brought aboard is because they were like five or six of the first people who really recognized the potential, which was back in 2005, 2006.
That's great. Yeah. Have you ever seen Bo? I shouldn't say, have you seen it all? Have you seen some of Bo Spencer's baseball card collection?
Oh my God, it's amazing. The million baseball cards, the million Cubs cards.
Yeah, that's true. When you say method of your madness, that's really true with him. And he's a former radio guy as well. So I'm curious, you know, again, talking to Dave Nanigay, our good friend, with the Illinois High School Glory Days website. It's IllinoisHSGloryDays.com. And I know you mentioned you know, you drive around the state and you gather some information, take pictures, things of that nature. And so you know, I'll just like use a Mercer County example here. So let's say, you know, you're driving in and off Illinois Route 17 and you're in New Windsor, and you see the school building there of the old New Windsor High School, and you go in, and somebody in town says, well, what's that guy doing? What's that guy doing over there with his camera? I mean, what's the most, like, interesting back and forth I guess you've had with somebody when you come into a small town and you're at an old school building there. Well, one thing, when you're in a small town, everybody wants to know who you are. That's one thing.
Right.
So immediately people are looking at it, seeing who I've never seen this guy at the, you know, local Casey's. What's he doing here? Well, he's got a camera out and he's taking pictures of the old school and he's spending some considerable time there. So have you had, I mean, what anything funny or anything strange that has happened in, you know, doing that type of stuff?
Well, the one thing I want to tell you is you got to be careful because, like you said, in a small town, people know whether you belong or not. And believe me, I grew up in Mineral, so I get it. So I totally get it. I try to be respectful, but sometimes I get too excited, you know. And there is a town, I don't want to say the name because the school is still there and it's privately owned, but there's a town where I visited and I started, you know, I got so excited. I, you know, get out of the car, I'm taking photos of the old building and someone comes, you know, racing up and I could hear the car racing towards the plate. And, the guy said, you know, I know the owner, you're not supposed to be here. You're going to be lucky if he doesn't shoot you. And so I said, hey, I'm not, you know, looking to cause problems. I really respect this building. And the next thing, the owner comes racing up. And the good thing was, you know, first of all, shame on me for not respecting their property. That's first and foremost. But once I got to talking to the gentleman who owned the building, such a nice guy, ended up being a military veteran. He ended up saying, you know, we're trying to rehab it. I don't want people, you know, inside or trying to break inside. And so totally understood and totally respect that. And so, like I said, when, you know, if you ever do it on your own, make sure you respect the property of the people who are there. That's one of the more, you know, got my blood flowing a little bit, you know, but, you know, the other ones, most of the time it's, you know, you get a kind of a stare or something. And I really enjoy, and you're a small town guy yourself, Jim, it's really fun to be driving around and you see someone who you know is a little bit like my age, a little older. I'm like 59. And you know that they've been in that town for so many years and it's so much fun just to stop and just ask them a question, you know, hey, you know, where was the high school located? And next thing you know, you're sitting there for 20 minutes as they tell you about what a great time it was to go to school there.
Yeah, speaking with Dave Nanigay, the call cut off there just a little bit. But you're talking about the conversations that you have with people around old buildings and, you know, able to gain some maybe additional information or a common interest, you know, and that kind of keeps the fire going in all of this, I'm assuming, for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, 100%. And, you know, to see the fire in their eyes and to see, and, you know, I was going to mention is that, you know, even to this day, it just cuts deep, especially in a small town when, and also for the, you know, if anyone who's had a high school close and it was where they went to school is obviously, it's a very heart-wrenching thing for most people. And especially when you have a small town, you know, where it was kind of the lifeblood of the little town. It was kind of the focal point. It was where the voting took place. It was where people met and, you know, they had, farmers institutes, for example, or, you know, just basic, other type of community events was at this high school. And to this day, there are still, you know, people who lived or who was there when the school was there. And that includes, good old Mineral. My mom is still mad that they closed Mineral High School in 1961. So I appreciate, I think it's great. And I love to see their passion. And I think they enjoy that somehow, some way their school is being remembered.
Well, and I think that's the thing why your, you know, site's always going to live on because we always talk about retro. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
local history is a big deal. And I think, especially in small towns, you know,
yes.
And there's always, I don't care what small school there is around the state, every one of them has this one story, right? I mean,
yeah.
Like you can say, well, is this team in this town, you know, 1960, whatever, 1940, 1930. Basically every location across the state, they at least probably have one year or that one thing that really stood out about the history of their school as it relates to interscholastic athletics. And I know you've been able to track down a lot of the information at a lot of these schools, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely. To me, it's fascinating anyway. And I think it does, I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from it. Just a quick story. I went to the area around Bloomington. It's a little town called Danvers, maybe 1,000 people. And I just wanted to get information, you know, on the high school itself. And I ended up, you know, I go to a site called newspapers.com and I looked up articles about Danvers. Well, I find in 1928-29, Danvers had a really good basketball team. Now, Danvers at that time was a three-year high school. But they had three or four kids who could really play ball, and they went toe to toe with teams like Urbana, Champaign, Bloomington. They would play them regularly, and you know, back in the days when, you know, not every team had the 6'7", 6'6" kid. They were all pretty much, you know, on an even playing field as height, but, you know, it came down to athleticism and coaching. And so in that year, that particular year, they went to the sectional and they lost in the sectional. Well, the very next year, and this would have been 39-40, I believe, the same school, those three kids had graduated from high school, from the three-year high school. So now they go on to attend high school in Bloomington. I wish I had better facts on that, but anyway, so they go to attend the four-year high school. The three kids join the four-year high school and immediately gain starting spots on the start on the team, and they lead the team all the way to the second place finish in the state finals that year. And I want to say it's Urbana, but yeah. But anyway, what a fascinating story. Just think, if that was a four-year high school, what a story that would have been, you know, with 50 kids in your high school, yeah, and three of them go on. And so that was one we recently uncovered, and I thought it was a great story. And then, you know, I just saw an article on Beeson High School. Beeson is where, of course, Jeff Clemens attended his freshman year before going to Mount Pulaski. But Beeson, you know, we saw an article where in the 20s, kids from Beeson would jump on a passenger car train that was heading through town in the evening. They'd get off that train, jump on a train in Lincoln and go to New Holland. And then they would play a basketball game. And that night they would stay with kids from the New Holland team. They would stay at their houses and the next morning have to catch trains back to Beeson, which I don't know, things like that I think are lost. And it was the quaintness and the, you know, really the closeness, I think, of competition back then was really special, and things that need to be remembered.
Yep. And then I think the other thing on top of your website, Dave, you know, IllinoisHSGloryDays.com, you've also developed a Facebook page where there's a lot of contributions from people across the state that'll post pictures or post pieces of information or box scores or things of that nature. And I think that group has really taken off, right?
Yes. It's really done well lately, and people are, like you said, they're adding stuff constantly to it. And you know, I really enjoy vintage photos, vintage art, newspaper articles, and we get a lot of that on there. And the name of the Facebook page is just the name of the website. It's Illinois High School Glory Days website is the name of the Facebook page. And you know, in the last week we've added 110 new members, and we always enjoy input, and there's a lot of fascinating stuff to read on there as well that isn't on the site. So it's been a lot of fun as well.
All right. We're going to take a break. Again, we can all say it together. Happy anniversary to Illinois High School Glory Days website, founded February 5th of 2005. So do the math. 17 years we celebrate here this month. Man, what a great treasure that is for local historians throughout the state. We're going to talk more with Dave Nanigay, Illinois High School Glory Days. It's online, IllinoisHSGloryDays.com. More coming up on WRMJ. Celebrating 17 years of the Illinois High School Glory Days website. That's IllinoisHSGloryDays.com. And I know when I was setting up this interview this week, some deserved recognition that Dave and the website's going to receive from a state agency later this year. So congratulations. I think long overdue, Dave, but it's always nice to get that type of recognition. Sometime in April, and I know an official announcement is coming soon. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think I'm safe to do it. I was sent a letter, and it was from the Illinois State Historical Society, and They have an annual awards banquet, and this year for in the category of non-book materials for best website for 2021, they named the Illinois High School Glory Days website. So pretty happy about that, pretty proud of it. And, you know, to be recognized, you know, it's not just about basketball, as I've always said, that we also list the histories of the towns and of the schools, and to be recognized by such a great group as the State Historical Society is quite an honor.
Well, that tells you there's a lot of different people that are consuming the information on that site. So come on, man. That I know you don't do it for that. You do. I've always defined it as labor of love. It's something right. You're not. You're gonna even if you've done it for 17 years. It, you know, you're not gonna say, well, in 2022, if they don't recognize me for something, I'm gonna stop doing it. You know. But so I mean, you've kept on doing it. But that's got to recharge your batteries a little bit. And I know you're a pretty humble guy, but come on, man, that's awesome to get something like that. And it's well deserved. I think most people that are listening say, well, he hasn't got it yet. It took him till 2022 to get him that honor. But a little bit just about your reaction to getting that recognition, which is pretty awesome.
It was quite a shock. And I just have to give you full disclosure here. My daughter, she's the one who submitted me without my knowledge. So I was very shocked when I got this. And she said, you know, growing up and you know, back in 2003 when I, you know, was a struggling young man raising a family, we didn't have but one computer. And my kids were always staring over my shoulder like, when are you going to be done adding information about Brooklyn High School here? You know, we got to get on MySpace. But she saw, you know, all the work this went into it. And she thought, just threw it out there, you know, as a surprise to me. And she was shocked as I was that they accepted the Glory Days website as the winner this year of the award. So it was really it's very humbling, and it is very nice to know that so many other people enjoy something that you do, and that it is, I think, serves a great purpose, not only for the state, but for, you know, for people in general. It's, I even get, Jim, you know, messages from people from other states, you know, saying, I wish we had something like this, and this is great, and thank you, and that kind of thing. So again, that's, you said, I don't do it for the praise, but boy, it sure is nice once in a while to hear something positive, you know, to get some positive feedback. So this was a great surprise and a great honor.
Well, and it's great because you just mentioned the family component of it. For you, you know, you mentioned your daughter, and I know your special needs son who travels with you. I get that. They share in it. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, from a family standpoint, they're so close to us that sometimes you try to figure out, well, are they kind of enjoying kind of the same things that I enjoy, you know? And the example I give for my son, adult son. He's involved in some radio business, and a couple of summers ago, we were traveling back from a Cincinnati Reds baseball game we're coming back through Indiana, and I said, well, we're going to stop in Knightstown, Indiana, and he's like, well, what are you going to stop there for? And I said, because I'm going to go to the old Hickory High School, the movie Hoosiers was filmed there. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you know, and he'd never seen it because, of course, 1986, that's not modern history to him. That's like a release, you know, whatever. That's like a black and white movie from the 1930s for him, basically, is what it equates to. So we stop there and go there. And, you know, I can tell he really digs it when we got there. And then having the opportunity to kind of consume and understand what the movie is all about now after the fact. You know, I know that visit was important to him to go there. And, right. I tell you, the other weird trip that I made with my middle daughter, who was at that age, she was like a middle school student, you know, so everything you do as an adult parent is considered weird. So I was coming back. We had a kid we covered here that went on to play at Wisconsin. Ethan Happ was his name, and I would follow him on the road to go to some of his games. He'd leave tickets for us, and I wanted to know. I'd never been to Mackey in West Lafayette where the Boilermakers play Purdue. So we went to the game, and we're coming back. It was like it was a middle-of-the-week game, so they played on it was one of those 8 o'clock tips, and it was like a Wednesday night maybe. So we stayed in West Lafayette and then came back Thursday morning in the middle of the week. It would have been like February, I think. So we came, when we came back, it's that two-lane highway that runs east out of Illinois. Well, coming back in, then from Indiana, it runs through Hoopston.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah. I'm like, you know, everybody knows the corn jerker nickname. So I said, well, I told my daughter, so we're coming back through. It's like 9:30 in the morning. Okay. And I said, well, I'm going to stop in the school because I want to see their logo and I want to get some Hoopston corn jerker stuff. And she's like, we're not going to do that. So I said, hey, I'm doing it, man. Cause I said, I never know if I'll be here again. Right. So I go into the school, you know, and it's, you know, the security entrance now with all schools. I said, hey, I said, and my daughter's with me and her face is, you know, beet red embarrassed. I said, hey, weird basketball fan here. Yeah. I said, I know the Hoopston corn jerker lore. I said, I want to get in the gym and see the logos and stuff. And I want to buy some, you know, merchandise. And she goes, oh, sure, come on in. So we go in. And the greatest thing is, my poor daughter to this day is one of the funny. So we go in and it's a gym class of like high school kids. And she's like a sixth grader. And the lady goes in and says, hey, this guy's traveling through and he wants to see the gym. And they just stop dead in their tracks, PE. And the attention is directly to us. Right. But I take a couple of pictures. But my daughter always shares that story with a lot of kids now because she said, yeah, my dad, we went to go to Purdue, and then he got this Hoopston corn jerker stuff, but she was just so embarrassed. And that's the type of stuff. And the kids, then they get it, is what I'm saying. And long story short, that was a long, drawn-out story. I apologize. I can tell your family enjoys it when you mention your daughter. And, you know, I got a chance to break bread with Dave and Savannah back in August, special needs son, Johnny travels with him, right?
Yes.
Sat down and ate with him. So, you know, that's another interesting part of this story, why you can, it's easy to love Dave Nanengay because of love of son. So can you talk a little bit, I know maybe it'd be tough to do, but can you talk a little bit about your relationship of your son and you basically your travel partner, right?
Oh yeah. Johnny's amazing. Johnny is 30. He turned 32 this year, just last month, and has never spoken a word. You know, we found out probably at age almost 2 years old before we realized there was a serious problem, and, you know, has never spoken. But we have been with him, you know, obviously our entire lives, with his entire life. And he has two older siblings, two younger siblings. And, you know, when Johnny walks through my house, he cannot get more than two steps without one of them grabbing him and giving him a kiss on the cheek. And that includes my wife and I as well. So we adore him. And he actually has grown fond of being in the car, even, you know, because of his father. He's grown fond of, you know, Willie's Roadhouse, country music, and 50s on 5 and stuff like that. So he'll be bopping his head to the music. And, you know, we love to stop and at the smaller towns. And we always try to go into a restaurant, you know, or something, if they have one still open, and eat lunch or just have a Coke and try to get someone to talk to us. But Johnny has been everywhere from Metropolis. He's got a picture of Johnny next to the Superman statue. That's in Metropolis, cool. All the way up to East Dubuque and all the way over to Zion, and, you know, everywhere. He's been with me, and he's right by my side. And, you know, we adore him and love him to death. And, you know, he makes it, keeps me going, keeps me motivated. And hopefully I'm doing something to keep him motivated and happy and know he's loved as well.
Yeah. Well, I know it's great. He came to Manny's Pizza in Savannah when we had that event back in August. So he got to experience all those coaches and all the media people. And I know, you know, here's another thing. If people are, and we'll post this on our website, you know, we get a lot of statewide listening audience. You know, Dave's great to come to an event and speak. You know, I know that night is more of like an informal type of setting where, you know, you talked a little bit about the website, but, you know, a chance for you to come in and meet with groups and talk a little bit about what you do. And that generates additional interest for the site and the history of small schools. So I know you like doing that. If people are out there listening and say, hey, this would be a cool guy to come to one of our groups and tell us a little bit about his, website, and maybe we have some information that he doesn't have, because I think a lot of people are probably out there listening. I got information that he doesn't have, and then they meet you and they said, no, I already got that information. But anyway, I mean, you like doing that stuff, getting out and visiting and meeting with people, right?
Yeah, and the thing about me is I'm one of those people who I'll sweat it all day being nervous about it, but once I start talking about it, I just really enjoy the topic. And so, yeah, I'd be more than happy to, you know, if anybody has anything that they like to talk about it. We've been, myself, Bo Spencer, I think Kev has even done it as well, been to alumni banquets, you know, where we come in and just talk about that particular school or the schools around there. And so, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're not looking for money. We're just enjoy spreading the word and talking to different people about these schools.
Yeah, and I thought the other thing, I think about my relationship with you over the years. I know this, I think it was 2 years ago, there was a person we were dealing with from Viola, and it was a six-man.
Yes.
Six-man football team, the Viola Lumberjacks, and the grandmother still had, or the daughter had the jersey of the six-man Viola Lumberjack team, and I'm like, man, I gotta tell Dave, I got a picture of this now. So I mean,
and I think it's on the website now too.
So I mean, how excited like are you when you like get that type of stuff, like the physical part? I mean, somebody can send you a picture, I get that, and you can be, and believe me, that's just as important. But man, when you get some like physical thing that's from, you know, whatever era. And you get to see it. And I think those programs are so, like the old school programs from way back in the day, if you get that type of stuff. And there was this is another quick story I'll share with you. We had a coach here that coached in the 1970s in Aledo, and he passed away a couple of years ago. And I went to his visitation. And he put on a basketball camp in it would have been the early to mid 1970s. Okay, that's not that long ago. But anyway, there was an old, like the mimeographed copy of a basketball camp brochure. So Craig Kelly was his name. He was a science teacher and basketball coach in Aledo. He grew up in Gary, Indiana. Okay, in one of his boyhood best friends that he still had a relationship until he passed, was Greg Popovich, the San Antonio Spurs coach who grew up in Gary, Indiana. Wow. Well, so he had this mimeographed basketball camp brochure, and I was talking about it because it's so great, because it had a huge paragraph of Craig Kelly, camp coordinator, Aledo High School basketball coach, okay? You know, and then this Sherrard basketball coach who was a great coach, coached at Allam, and Larry Schulte is his name. He's since retired. Still a good guy. We interact with him when we see him. And then a big paragraph about him. And then Greg Popovich was really young back then and just kind of getting into coaching, like just, I don't know if he's fresh out of college or in college. And then it had like two sentences about Greg Popovich, which I thought was so great. I mean, so like when you get your hands on stuff like that, you know, because it was a physical, I'm like, man, that is so cool. I mean, that's the type of stuff I know you dig too, when you can kind of get your hands on some of the old history of that small school stuff.
Yes. And well, in Monroe, we also started a museum there, and what we were able to get is uniforms. So we have a basketball uniform from the early 1940s, from the 1950s, and from the very early 1960s. In fact, the last year. So it's kind of, I always enjoy seeing the style. I was very impressed with the quality of the fabric. You know, you don't know what to expect from those days, and very quality fabric. In fact, we even have a football jersey from 1950. They only had football for 3 years, but we were able to get a jersey from those days. So that's great. And then when you see, you know, like the Havana and Bath Bolicki, Balakai or whatever they called it, they had a tournament, a county tournament, where they had a duck that was, you know, signed by every year. They'd put the winner of the game, and then they'd give it to that school to hold to the next year. And apparently the last year Bath won it was the year before the tournament was stopped, so Bath held on to it, and apparently they have it in one of their buildings. You know, they didn't give it back to Havana when Havana won. But it was kind of cool, and they would put the duck out in the middle of the floor, you know, before it was just a wooden duck. But I think those kind of stories are great.
Yeah.
There's a plaque, you know, for the Little Ten tournament, the longest running conference tournament in the state of Illinois. It's over 100 years old, but they have the original plaque from 1920. They still have preserved that and still have it. To me, those things are just amazing. In Mineral, they have the trophies going back as far as 1930, and to touch that trophy and to say, wow, you know, at one time these guys were excited as heck to raise that trophy and say we won this for good old Mineral High. So yes, I get very excited when I see items like that and that people share them. I don't accept items because I have nowhere to put them and I don't want to be responsible for them. So I always suggest go to your local historical society or your local library and see if they're interested. But to get pictures of those things and to know that they're out there still and they've been preserved is really a thrill.
Yeah. So you know, if you look at, you know, so we're, you go from 2005, right, to 2022. So February 5th of 2005, we're 17 years into it. So if you look at just like that, what do you think if you go 17 years ahead and we say 2039?
Well, unfortunately, I'm sure there are going to be more schools added, you know, that are open right here today, but we'll see how that goes. But, you know, if God willing, as long as I'm around, I don't know what it is inside of me. You know, some people are driven to play golf and some are driven to do other things, and whatever it is inside of me, I'm driven to do this. And I plan on keeping it going as long as I'm alive and able. And, you know, my joke to my kids is, so what, you know, when someone dies at the age of 85, I say, you know what they're going to say when I'm 85, they're going to say, I can't believe he's been dead for 20 years. So I'm hoping to get another 17. I like that idea, but, you know, as long as I'm here, I plan on keeping the site going.
Yeah, did you have any, like, what are your immediate plans here? And then, well, I know in the winter it's hard to travel, but do you have any, like, bucket list things you want to do, you know, towns you want to visit, or what's next on your list, I guess?
Well, you know, I pretty soon, if you go to the Facebook page, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be starting on the visit to Knox, I think it is Knox County, Ryo and Watauga and those schools. So, you know, I try to do one every week. So I did that in the last fall, like we said, and I still want to get down. When you get to a certain point, you have to make a decision. You're going to stay all night or not. So I want to get down into the southwestern, southeastern portions of the state. There are a lot of great stories, little towns, a little town of Simpson. It's not even really a town. It's like five houses, and they, in the 1930s, they had a team that they had 25 kids in the whole high school and 11 boys in the whole high school. 10 of them were on the basketball team, and here they make it to the Sweet 16 and they lose to Johnson City, who got fourth that year. So, you know, and they lost in overtime. So those kind of stories, I love to see the town. It's so great to go and visit the town and get a real concept of what it was like back in the glory days of that town. And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. There were glory days and there's today in reality. And in most cases, the smaller towns have taken a big hit in Illinois, but there are still some out there that have done a great job of preserving things. So it's just fun to go out and travel and to see these places in person.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about some of the things that I've learned from you. Now, you know, I've lived in Mercer County for over 30 years, and you know, last year I didn't realize when you said the story, you're like, well, Don Nelson grew up in Cable. I'm like, wait, yeah, what? Right. In Mercer County? Yeah, Cable. That's where he went. And then he went, moved into the Quad Cities. And I'm like, wait. So Don Nelson could have been a Mercer County, you know, a Cable High School or Sherrard High School player, but instead he went to Rock Island. I'm just curious. I did an interview this week with Landmarks Illinois. They're like historic preservationists with like old historic buildings, and a lot of the things that they do, you know, they're really concerned about preserving old historical landmarks. And I was talking to the guy earlier this week, and I'm like, that dude's Dave Dandengay, I think, but he's doing the buildings instead of, you know, preserving the schools in a digital format. So again, it's synonymous, and I like how you kind of put it, because you kind of know if the school gets rolling, and this is a small town. This is I'm really talking about small town stuff here, that I always think small town and school are synonymous. The school in that town is synonymous with the town. They're kind of hand in hand now. And I don't think that's as true in urban areas. Maybe it is, but I'm just saying, small town, as the school goes, is kind of the town goes sometimes. That's the talk. I mean, if the basketball team or the football team or the Scholastic Bowl team or the music program or whatever it is going, the town is behind it.
Right. Yes. And, you know, the thing, you know, I get a lot of, we were doing fine until the school closed, you know, and I found out some of the reality is, and we've talked about this before, but in the small rural towns in Illinois, if you didn't have a close by bigger town or, you know, industrial town or an industry of your own, and you're solely dependent upon farmers coming into town to do their shopping. Once farming technology really took off in the 60s, late 50s and 60s and 70s, you know, back in the 40s, there were a farm would be run by an 80 acre farm would supplement a family, you know, three or four or five kids, and they would all go to the local town on Friday nights to shop, and they would go to the local school to attend school. Well, once those started becoming 1,200 acre farms and that, you lost a lot of your base, and the schools were getting down. You know, Minerals last year they were open, they were 28 kids in the whole high school. So it becomes really difficult to keep it going at that point. So it's like chicken or the egg, you know, did the town start to go down after the high school closed, or did the high school close because the town started to go to lose some of its business and some of its population? So I think, you know, but the reality is, even for my little Mineral, is that the school closed normally is because of the loss of revenue and the loss of enrollment due to either farming technology or just not having the industry or the businesses to keep people living there to stay open, you know.
All right. So when I hear that, so I'm saying that, so you're apparently rooting for Scales Mound this year, aren't you, in boys basketball? The 76 kids at the school and like 26 kids on the basketball team, right?
I was just thinking about them the other day. I went up there, Johnny and I, of course, went up there, and we drove to Scales Mound. And if you ever want to see a 1950s town and a 1950s school, that's where you want to go, Scales Mound. We went there, and they still have a Sinclair gas station open, and it only has one pump. It's the only one pump station in the United States, I guess. But it's still open. You can still get gas there. You go to the local grocery store, and you walk in, and they will feed you. You know, you can order a ham sandwich, and they make it right in front of you, put it on a hamburger bun. And, you know, there was like, well, Johnny and I were there. It was lunchtime at the high school, and the kids were walking across the tracks, and I swear, in my mind, they still had crew cuts, you know, walking across. And, you know, there was, excuse me, sir, thank you, sir. You know, it was just a pleasure to visit that town. And, boy, I'm hoping they do well this year for that reason.
Yeah, me too. All right. Well, Dave, thank you not just for this conversation today. Thank you for giving us this great resource and this great gift. And, again, Dave being honored by the Illinois State Historical Society as well. And it's always a pleasure to run into you and talk to you, Dave. And like I said, if you're out there and you got a group and you want to hear some interesting presentation, like informal, back and forth, give Dave a call or look him up on the website, IllinoisHSGloryDays.com. And like I said, a great resource. You're a treasure to this state, Dave Nannegan. Oh. People are starting to figure it out. And I guess I'll end it by saying this. Happy anniversary. February 5th, 2005 was the launch of Illinois High School Glory Days. It's IllinoisHSGloryDays.com. Again, thanks, sir. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Tim.
We'll take a break. Come back with more on WRMJ in a moment.